I'd like to welcome everybody this evening to the Friday night Inner Space talk. The talk itself is on less judgment, more kindness, and our speaker, Beatrice, is joining us from Italy, Rome, today. And she's based now in Rome, and she's an unusual young person in that she started meditating in her teens, and she is now studying and actually almost writing her thesis, I believe, on naturopathy, and so exploring health from that angle. Tonight, we are asking Beatrice to join us and share what it means to break the habit of judging. Where does it crop up? How does it affect us? And why is it that it can actually be something that draws us away from being kind? And so, how do we then access that kindness and make it part of a life of compassion, but also powerful? So, I'm going to hand over to Beatrice in a moment. She's going to share with us for about 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes, and then she'll do a short meditation, just 3 minutes. And after that, any questions you have for her, you can send in via the question and answer link in your email. Those questions will be put to Beatrice, by myself after her talk. So don't hesitate, feel free. Beatrice, thank you for joining us, and over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. It's an honor. And yes, so today's topic is less judgment and more kindness. And the intention behind this is coming from a space of personal experience where I just realized how hard I was being to myself or with myself. And I didn't want that anymore. So it's about at least a year or two that, I've started to explore this idea of self-compassion, kindness, self-acceptance, self-love. And so this is judgment and kindness is part of this personal progress and process I am still going through. And to me, it's very important because if there is no self-acceptance, if there is no kindness, even though I am in a spiritual journey, I can actually leave this journey as a horrible thing, because if I have this habit of judging myself, so, and I mean, I'll explain to you, but in this way is criticizing, then even though I am progressing, I will still criticize myself. Even though I am actually beautiful and amazing and full of virtues, I will still not see that. And the way I want to progress is through changing myself because I'm not good. And so when there is this push to change myself from that space of almost hate for ourselves, I don't think something good can come out of it, It will be forceful. And so I've seen that and I've said enough. I want to continue my spiritual journey through a space of from a space of kindness and love and acceptance. And in fact, the results are great in terms of my transformation. So it's very important to share this, to just maybe inspire others to, take some benefit from this practice. So, of course, when I talk about judgment in this case, I am talking about the critical voice because in the Brahma Kumaris, judging, you know, it's actually one of the eight powers. And in fact, to be able to judge, meaning to be able to have a clear vision and then make a decision, it's very important. So I won't be talking about that. I am talking about judgment as in common use, when we have a very strong idea of how things should be, and we criticize, we tend to criticize when things are not exactly like that. So one of the, you know, in order to practice of kindness and to feel kind to myself and others, judgment is a big antagonist to this energy of kindness. And I want to start the approach to less judgment by giving you another perspective of life, you know, maybe something you already feel is part of you, maybe not. So I know that in the spiritual world, you know, there is still a view of this is good and this is not good. And this is fine, you know, it's normal, meaning, you know, to practice meditation is good, and then to practice self-hate is not good, okay? So there is this duality, we can say, and that's fine. But I invite you now to go for a moment beyond this space of duality and to see reality as perfect, just the way it is now. So in this new perspective, there is freedom from what's wrong and what's right, because we are individuals. No one is like me, so it's really hard to say what's right or wrong as an absolute statement. When I have a good intention, you know, a clear intention, a pure intention of benefit, meaning of benevolence, of bringing about benefit within my life, and within the life of the people around me, for example, then I don't need to worry about right and wrong too much, but I can just access this space of benevolence and kindness and let myself be guided by that energy, rather than the intellectual mind thinking and deciding this is okay, this is not okay. I see now a spiritual path as a healing journey. And this is probably connected to my profession as well, of course. And in a healing journey, there is no path that is the same as someone else's path. So if, for example, I am very insecure, then to boost myself for a while, you know, and discover the opposite side of the spectrum. So maybe come across as very confident, and sometimes that can become bossiness or, you know, arrogance, let's say. You know, that experience in that moment can be necessary, okay? And the same thing is when someone is, for example, a very angry person. So someone who easily manifests anger. Then when that person is ready to explore the other aspect, the other side of the spectrum, meaning to be silent, to observe, you know, to wait before reacting, then that is a process of healing. So for example, for me, when I started to practice meditation, one of the, let's say, characteristics I had was that I wasn't able I was very young, so it's understandable. I wasn't able to stand for myself and say what I think, okay? So I remember there was a time in my life when I started to just say no to many things, you know? And because I used to say yes to almost everything, when I started to do that, I got quite a strong reaction from outside. But that was because I was judging myself for that. So this intro is to share my point of view about this spiritual journey as a healing journey. And that means that there is no absolute right and wrong. I need to be present to myself, be aware and be very honest, connect to my deep intention and feel what do I need with the intention to heal and become whole. What do I need? What is lacking? What is it that I want to experiment and discover? Because I know very well the other side of it. So when done with this awareness, again, there is no right and wrong. And from this space, it's easier to have less judgment. So whenever I am doing something, you know, during my life and my daily life, okay, I don't know, just to give, you know, practical examples, this is how I used to be and act. I would have high expectations on myself, from myself. And, you know, if I was maybe talking to someone and then I would say something extra, then I would just blame myself immediately and judge myself for that and say, oh, no, Bea, this is bad. So that would go immediately in the wrong side of the column. Or, for example, if I were to make a mistake, and as a mistake, I mean, again, something I shouldn't have done. But again, you know, what is a mistake really? So sometimes, even though, okay, you know, I might have forgotten something or I might have done something different, I could have faced that with kindness instead of judgment and say with acceptance, okay, Bea, you did this. Now, the difference is when there is acceptance, I can know myself better and transform that aspect, because there will be a natural curiosity of saying, okay, Bea, how come that happened? How is it that you were distracted? What is going on? How do you feel? What's happening? You know, if something is troubling me, then I can go in that direction to discover myself more from a space of kindness. If in that moment I choose to judge and criticize myself and blame, feel guilt or ashamed, I'm not going to transform. I'm just going to feel bad. And that's it. That's the end of the journey when I choose judgment and shame. And it's a pity, because I am wasting an experience, you know, we can call mistakes experiences, and I'm not actually learning from it. So, you know, with this idea, if I really have the intention to transform and transition and evolve, then I choose kindness. There is no other way. And of course, this is to myself. Okay, so now we are talking about self-kindness and self-judgment. So, of course, I need to be, as I said, I need to be honest, okay? Because it's very easy to trick myself into just being in the comfort zone, for example, and not pushing myself towards evolution. But even then, how do I act upon it? You know, I could just choose to be kind and say, okay, Bea, maybe are you afraid of something? Are you afraid to face something? Are you afraid to discover something new? What are you afraid of? So it's almost like, you know, being with a child. If a child is having a tantrum, it's really helpful for the child to feel understood, to feel that their parent or the adult knows how much he's angry or sad or desperate because the toy broke, okay? He needs to feel understood. And then when that happens, he will calm down immediately because he will see that his feelings and emotions were acknowledged. Next step to that is to, you know, love the child and really express that as you are loved and I'm here for you. And it's okay that you have a tantrum. When there is that type of care and kindness, then the child will open up to understand more. So in that moment, you can explain, look, it's a toy. It broke and these things happened. So it's okay to feel sad. And now we can move on. Something like that. So sometimes we are not able to do this with ourselves because we think of us as adults. We are, but sometimes not inside. Sometimes, or most of the time, we didn't receive this love and acceptance as children. And so as adults now, we are the ones responsible to give it to ourselves and through our interactions with people, with God, with whoever you want. But it starts from the self. So when I access this kindness, you know, this love for me as a being, and that I really want to cherish and care for, then I help the process of transformation. I kind of speed up the process of transformation in a way. And this is the opposite of judgment in this case. In fact, in the self-compassion course, this is the first step: more self-kindness and less self-judgment. So what can we do practically? Because judgment is a habit now. And so what can we practically do? First of all, I would suggest during the meditations to really access this energy of kindness. Then I also suggest to write down anything and everything you want, meaning asking yourself, what is my attitude towards myself? How do I treat myself? How do I see myself? Because if I see myself as an adult who is supposed to do and be in a certain way, I'm having high expectations on myself without acknowledging that I still have unmet needs, same as a kid. So, yeah, I can put those two together and say, okay, the expectations, that is no more an expectation, but it's a deep desire, is to evolve and feel more and more comfortable with myself, know myself more and more, and go through this process of healing and becoming whole. So if that is the intention, it's no more an expectation, but the energy is going there. So, you know, I can write down about this, you know, just reflect on it. And then I need to be present when the moment happens, you know, when the judgment comes, when I am at a supermarket, I don't know, and I want to buy chocolate and I'm judging myself for it. Or when I am talking to a parent or a relative or someone close to me and I am feeling in a certain way, you know, maybe I feel rejected or maybe I feel criticized and I'm judging myself because I'm feeling that way. Or maybe because I feel angry or because I feel upset or because I'm not willing to cooperate, you know, whatever. I need to be aware and pay attention to the comments in my mind. What's happening? What? How am I reacting? What am I? What is my response to my comments, to what's happening? So in that moment, you know, when the time is right, with patience and love, I can just take a moment, you know. So maybe something triggered me at work or within the family, or just something I did for myself or I didn't do for myself, and I'm triggered and I start to criticize myself and say, oh, but I shouldn't have done this. This is bad. Why did you do that? And all of that. So in that moment, I can say, okay, I can see there is judgment here. Let me just stop for a moment and observe, first of all. And I choose to do that again from a space of kindness, from a space of love. So that's why I told you before to practice this energy during the meditations, because if you know that energy, you can use it in those moments. If not, it will be harder to connect. So I go in that space and I say, okay, Bea, I start with acceptance. This is what you're feeling. You're feeling upset or angry or whatever the feeling is at the moment. And you are judging yourself for it. Now, this is very interesting because the comments I'm having on my emotions of the time are connected to my beliefs. And this is very interesting. This is very interesting because then I can see that, for example, if I'm feeling angry and I am commenting, saying, Bea, you shouldn't feel anger. You're a being of peace. Okay, this is very common in spirituality. My belief is that anger is bad and I'm not allowed to feel that. I'm not allowed to practice that. I'm not allowed to be angry. Reality is, anger is an emotion and as such is present in myself as a human being. If I'm able to go beyond judgment, go beyond right and wrong, then I can just see it for what it is. It's not dangerous. It's an emotion. And as such, I just accept it. Yes, Bea, you're very angry. So from observing the comments on my emotions and how I'm feeling, meaning my judgments, I am actually discovering my beliefs. And when I see a belief, I can change it. And when I change a belief, I'm changing my life. Because beliefs is what drives us, you know. When we make choices, when we deal with people, there are some core beliefs that are very strong and it's basically what's driving us. So then it becomes very interesting. So yeah, in that moment, you know, if I take time for myself, I can even write down and see what I'm discovering about myself. And because I'm doing it from a space of kindness, I realize that it doesn't really matter what I did, you know, what I'm actually judging. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that I am there for myself. I am present. And I am discovering myself. And this feels good. So, you know, going beyond judgment with kindness, it's like going beyond the limited film, movie we are living, and understanding that what I'm seeing and what is happening, you know, the mistake I did physically, it's not important. You know, it's actually very, very tiny. But what's behind it, my beliefs, my judgment, my comments, my critical voice, it's a huge door to self-discovery if I access through the door of kindness. So with this being said, now I want to talk about this approach to other people. And really saying that it's the same thing. So if I'm able to see life, you know, and relationships in it as well as a movie, I'm able to transcend a little bit. And so not focus so much on the other person, but on myself. So if someone else is doing something and I'm judging the person, it means that is my belief. So it doesn't really matter if I'm judging myself or I'm judging someone else. It doesn't, you know, even though what the other person is doing might appear as worse than me, you know, than what I do. That is just a detail, you know, it's just an excuse, because what I need is to find out the comments I'm having, the judgments, and so the beliefs behind it. So if it's me or someone else I'm judging, there's no difference, but I need to be aware of that, because I can easily make everything about the other person when someone is doing something I don't like. So, you know, this is necessary in relationship to face and, you know, tell things you don't like if you don't agree, you know, but this is not the topic of today, how to deal with relationships. This is about judgment and kindness. So, as I said, it doesn't matter if it's me or someone else I'm judging, because I can still do the same process and say, okay, Bea, what is the comment you're having on that person that is being so loud? Or what is the comment you're having on that person that is actually being so sweet? So in that moment, I can see I'm judging. I can see my critical voice going on. And I can just see my beliefs that are about me. The other person is, you know, it could be a picture. It could be a living being, it doesn't matter. It's just a trigger for me to see what I have within me. So if I've practiced this enough for myself, if I have kind of allowed the energy of kindness to be and go through me, then I'm able to actually act with kindness also with other people. It's not necessary, you know, sometimes our judgment and kindness is not required because we just give free judgment all the time. But kindness helps a lot, because in that moment, as I do accept myself, I can just accept the others, the other being, as for who he, she is and how he, she is in that moment. And really feel that we are so different. I don't know myself, you know. I'm like an ocean. It's impossible to know in this lifetime, probably, the whole of me. So how can I, you know, think that I know the other person and what they're going through? I don't know, even though those who are really close to me. So with this vision of humility, I can just feel that, you know, that person is doing the best that person can do in this moment right now. And I am no one to say that is good or bad. I am no one to do that. They don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, because I am creating more judgment and that energy within me. So as I'm able to accept myself and understand that I am also doing the best I can in this moment right now, I truly am. And this is great. And I don't deserve hate or to be hard with myself. I don't want that. So I don't deserve it. You know, I want to love me. I love me, and I want to choose kindness as much as I can. So it is a transformation, meaning we are going from a place to the other, but we are also already there within the practice. So it's not that I'm going from a place I'm bad to a place I'm good. I'm going from a place I am to a place I also am, but I'm transforming in that. And this gives a lot of peace, a lot of peace, a lot of peace of mind and peace in the heart and quiet moments. There is another aspect in self-compassion that is called common humanity. And this helps when we judge ourselves, comparing ourselves to others. So if I'm judging myself and I'm saying, I've done this like this, but you know, my friend did it this way and that other person is so good and I'm so bad. So I'm also exaggerating here with examples, but we know we really think these things, okay? So this is also another good practice to really write down thoughts we have, critical thoughts we have about us and others. Because once they are written down, we can just see they are just unbelievable, you know? They're not real, and they're really filled with criticism and hate almost, and that's okay too, but I'm choosing to have a different approach. So when I am judging myself, comparing myself to others, in that moment common humanity can help. And with common humanity I intend this feeling and idea that we are in this together, that I'm not the only one that is going through this, that other people have experienced that before me, they have gone through it, and they are okay. And so this common humanity helps, and it's opposite to isolation. So common humanity creates connection, because, you know, for example, if I am angry at my son, okay, and then I feel I am a bad mother, in that moment, I can just accept, and maybe I'm comparing myself to other mothers, of course, in that moment, I can just accept the saying, this is normal. This happens because we are human beings, and every mother has gone through a moment thinking, I'm not a good enough mother. So in that moment, common humanity can help, or meaning I become aware that this is common within humanity. So I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. Now, if I can even share that with a friend that is open and honest enough to acknowledge what is real in life, such as emotions, then that can create an even deeper level of connection. So I think I've said everything I wanted to say. I'm just checking my notes. before going into meditation. So I don't want to forget things. Yeah. So I hope it was useful. We'll see if there will be question and answer questions so I can answer after the meditation. And again, even in this, be patient and be kind, because if I choose to practice kindness and then I judge myself because I'm not practicing kindness, you know, it's just funny. So let's acknowledge every time we're not patient with ourselves. Let's acknowledge and accept every time we are still hard on ourselves. It's okay. It's okay, because the intention is to create a different space, a different environment, a different relationship with myself. So be kind to yourself. This is a natural energy within us. And once we accept we can live this way, because that's another belief, then once we accept we can live this way with kindness, then big shifts can happen. So we'll go now into a very short meditation, but very powerful. So make sure you, if you can, you know, if you're not driving or doing something that can risk your life, you can stop doing whatever you're doing. You don't need to look at the screen. Just focus on yourself. You are the most important person in your life. There is no one else as much important as you are. So this time is just for me, and I focus on myself. And I start focusing on my body, meaning I am present in my body. I'm not elsewhere. I'm present. I feel my feet, legs, belly, chest, arms, neck and face and head. I feel I'm present. I let go of any tension. And I visualize a very warm sphere of light on my chest. This is the essence of kindness, which belongs to me. This is kindness showing itself to me, saying, I'm here, I'm part of you, I'm ready to be used, I am available. Use me. And as I'm observing this energy of kindness, I can see that I am welcoming it in a conscious way. I am embracing it. And in doing so, this energy of kindness, this sphere of warm light becomes bigger and bigger. It's a big sphere within my chest. And I continue to embrace it and welcome it. And I continue to feel that it's expanding and it's becoming part of my whole body, my every cell, every atom in the body is being filled with kindness. And when I'm ready, I embrace it even more. And this embrace is like a stamp. When I allow this energy of kindness to stay with me, to be with me. And so I come back with this new energy that's already belonged to me, but now I've chosen it consciously. Thank you.
Thank you. Beatrice, what do you do to overcome your beliefs? For example, the belief you can live with kindness truly. Is it just reminding yourself, or do you have any other tips other than meditation?
Okay. So, beliefs are strong because they are repeated over time. You know, they are like part of us. So yes, the first step is to see it and then to question it as much as possible. Because I need to first see with my own eyes that it's not real. So I can use the logic and the rational mind. And then I need to experience it. So for example, I used to believe I'm not worthy of God's love. And this is a strong belief. So it's still processing, you know, it's not completely transformed. But how have I started it? You know, I've started to face it. First of all, is do I need to be worthy of love? So the way is to have good questions, because I am love and I am lovable and I am loved already. So do I really need to be worthy of love? For example, and then to feel that in my body. Okay. Then I, you know, add the God side. If God is the ocean of love, how can I put a limitation on his capacity of love? So this is an example. What you said, you know, about can I have kindness within my life? Why not? Then what do I believe I should have in my life if it's not kindness? And then the other question is, do I want to? You know, because I am master of my own life. You know, I can choose if I want to have kindness or not, and that's fine. So I have power to do that. Then that is another belief, probably. that I'm not the creator of my life. And, you know, so to question it properly, and then there are techniques I know about, you know, that more than beliefs works on the emotional, let's say, trauma that is behind that beliefs. So, you know, it could be EFT, emotional freedom technique, EMDR, I forget, it's eye desensitization something. So, but anyway, it's, sorry, didn't prepare for this. But these are techniques that go through a moment in life where that belief might have been formed and create a rewiring of the brain through the movement of eyes after certain type of affirmations and positive groundings. So, you know, it's very interesting if you want to have a look at it.
That was very interesting. Something to look up. Second question. I believe I am addicted to self-judgment and self-criticism. I even judge myself judging myself. Do you have any advice on how to start kicking this addiction?
Okay. So first of all, remember the common humanity, because you're not the only one in this. Another aspect is, I didn't mention this, so it's good it came up, is that what we are facing is also what we need. Meaning, you describe yourself as addicted to, in this case, judgment, which means you are addicted to suffering or self-harm in a way, you know. When there is an addiction, like you said, there is a strong need for connection. And somehow, through judgment, you are putting that connection even further away. So what I do is to, you know, work with someone on this idea that you are addicted, because you might have needed addiction until now because you were not able to provide for yourself the connection you needed and wanted. But now you can change that. This requires a work with a professional, though, I believe, you know. I don't know you, but I'm doing it. I also have my naturopath and I have treatments and things. So, yeah. So instead of focusing on the judgment here, I would focus on the belief that you are addicted.
Okay, thank you. Do you have methods to practice kindness?
Okay. So I've done quite a few trainings being a meditation teacher. And, you know, one of these is nonviolent communications, for example. There's another one very interesting about, you know, the whole process of the three role playing, victim, I don't remember the word in English, the savior and the one who harmed the victim. Okay, I hope you understand. So there are techniques, there are. Still, I'm not a big fan of those because sometimes we can become fake. And yes, there is the saying, fake it till you make it. And I'm not a big fan of that either. So to me, when I connect to my heart, I know how to be kind. And if I don't know now, I will through experience. So if I am coming from that space, then yes, I can use techniques such as nonviolence communication is really good, or the self-compassion course is great. I can use that in my life, but it's not a mere technique, you know, just like you need to talk in this way and you need to reply in this way. So for example, I might tell you, you know, I want to give you a constructive feedback, which is a negative feedback. But as a rule, I first start giving you a positive feedback. So I said, oh, you know, you're really kind and you're really great and your work here is very valuable. But this, 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 and that. If I'm giving the positive feedback just out of a technique, the other person won't feel that love. So I rather work on that before that, you know, because it would feel very fake. And that's okay, as long as I am aware of it and I'm willing to process it somehow. So use techniques, but make sure they are combined with your deep intention and your honesty with your feelings. Because if I'm upset at you and I tell you it's okay, it's not helping anyone. It's not helping me. It's not helping the other person because I'm still sending them bad vibes. And yeah, doesn't work. So have a look at those two I mentioned. But yeah, this is what I think.
Lovely, thank you. And the final question this evening is, how did you discover the Brahma Kumaris and what drew you to meditation at such a young age? Did you look at other meditations and choose BKs as the one you would follow?
Okay. So when I was 13, my mom started teaching this meditation. So I started studying, receiving the course of the Brahma Kumaris meditation from my mom out of feeling of support for her. I was not interested, even a little bit. My interests were very different at the time. But I said, you know, my mom is starting something new. I can support her. So I'm going to join. And again, it's a small town where we used to live. So, you know, I said, I want to support. The thing is that when I started to actually do meditation, I could see that a lot of insecurities were coming up. And I was like, wow, I didn't know these things were so strong within me. And so I started to work a lot on virtues, for example, and to work on my self-esteem. I was also, still am, stubborn. And I was also very hard on myself with a strong sense of duty and responsibility. So when I started, I said, okay, this is the good thing I'm going to do. Doesn't matter if I really want it or not. So I think for some years, it was out of discipline that I did it. I had a lot of benefit, but that was the feeling. And then I transitioned into, I choose to do this for myself. And in this transition, yes, I do, you know, through my course mainly, because in a month I am discussing my thesis. So it's 4 years now, or five, I don't know, that I've also been studying this. And in these studies, I've also come across many other types of meditations and philosophies. But I'm also passionate about other aspects out of my studies. So yes, I've tried. And in fact, what is coming here, it's from me, Bea, which is, you know, an inclusion of what I learned from the Brahma Kumaris and from other experiences. I still believe that I've learned a lot from the Brahma Kumaris, and it's a really valuable instrument, especially the soul awareness and the consciousness of God. So yeah, I think I've answered all the questions because there were many together.
Thank you so much. I know it must be late in Italy, so thank you very, very much for joining us and sharing your insights and your wisdom.
Thank you, everyone. It was an honor to be here.